Carry the light. We're going to end up with that today, carrying the light. We're looking at the doctrine of God. But it said to preach the gospel. And every time I see that word, whether it be in scripture or whether it be in song, that word preach, it means to make a proclamation. And it is not said in the context of a someone that would be called to be a pastor or a preacher. It is in the context of every follower of Christ to make a proclamation for what we know is true, and that is that God loves them and that there is forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. But today we're talking about the doctrine of God, and we're going to be looking at John 1 and 1 through 4, and then we'll 11 through 14. But you maybe have heard me make reference before to a sermon I heard by Dr. Paige Patterson. He is a seminary president of one of the Southern Baptist seminaries. I believe it's Southern, and he said that the most important scripture in all the Bible was Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And today, looking at John 1, we see that in the beginning God created, but and we see the world, all that we know, all that we are, all that we have composed as a human people over all of time. It all began there. But in John 1, that we see that even before that, there was God. And we see that in the context of the Word. Just reading it, well, let's go ahead and we'll just dive in. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to go 11 through 14. And we're not skipping anything that's... what we're looking over is that introduces John the Baptist. And very important verses, I encourage you to look at those a little later. But right now we're going to be focusing on Jesus Christ being the Logos, being the Word. Let's pray first. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come in with the worries of the world, and we pray that you would remove them. And Lord, we pray that you would open up our minds, our hearts, our eyes, and our ears, Lord, to what your Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then moving to 11. Then it says, he came to know his own, and he being Jesus, came to know his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. What a word. The doctrine of God, when it comes to the doctrine of God, doctrine essentially means belief. What do we believe about God? In the men's meeting this past week on Tuesday mornings, I didn't mention that, if you're a man, and you on Tuesday morning, 6:30, we meet at the Perdido Bay, Perdido Key Oyster Bar, and out on the deck, and would love for you to be a part of that. But we talked about the Apostles' Creed. I think Ron at one time could even quote it in Latin, and that would have been fun. We wouldn't have known what he said. But what do we believe? The Apostles' Creed is one of those things that states in a statement what we believe. Also, the Baptist Faith and Message, we see that. It again puts in a few statements what we believe. But the doctrine of God, we see it'll take volumes to really break down what the doctrine of God is. I hope you know that. When it comes to studying it, to researching the theology around it, it is literally volumes of works by different folks that really come to the conclusion at the end of reading it all that they really don't know. And so hopefully today we'll walk away with knowing God and God in us in a special way that the Holy Spirit has for us. But John 1, just breaking this down, a very challenging verse. And, you know, we're going through this whole year of being disciple makers. We're looking at what does it mean to be a disciple? And not only is it enough to be a disciple, but our goal is to be a disciple-making disciple. Oftentimes when people are saved, we'll lead them, hey, go and read the book of John. And now imagine the book of John and how it starts. A person who's new to Christ, and we launch him right in here in the midst of the deity of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful passage for sure, but it's one that we need to walk people through. Hopefully today would help us in that, because remember, this whole journey is, for most of us, we are disciples, but it is also to equip us, as I've already said, to go and to make more disciples who will continue to make disciples. But looking at this passage, it begins with the Word. And now this whole Word, it encompasses so much. But what it encompasses is first, it's a Greek word that connects to the Hebrew, the Old Testament, of the powerful, creative Word of God. If you remember Genesis 1:1, if we were to go and look not only at Genesis 1:1, but we look at those 6 days where God created, it said that God spoke, God said, and it was done. And when he said it was done, it was good. And so here this word reaches to the Jewish people, the Hebrew, just encompassing, again, that powerful, creating Word of God. And then it also reaches out to the Greeks that have it reaches the idea of their philosophy of needing to just the ideas that organize and unify the principles that operate the whole universe. I guess the modern term that makes sense, and again, I'm going to talk about some other things. When it comes to trying to give a word picture to the doctrine of God, they always, always theologically fall short of giving the whole picture. But if you know anything about computers, we know most of us, we go on and we see pretty colors, we see pretty things, we click on them, and it's done. But when you get down to the essence of them, it's my understanding, I'm not a computer programmer, but there is just binary code. Zeros and ones. And when it comes to again, trying to put this into a word picture, the Word of God is the essence of all creation. And we're going to see that in just a minute. The doctrine of God, it is vast. It includes the knowledge that we have of our living God that we find in Scripture, his attributes, his characteristics. In the past, we've gone through the names of God and all the different names of God. They begin to really just unfold, and we see the character and the beauty of, not just the beauty of God, the awesomeness of God, of who he is, and we find them in his Word. There's no one sermon, there is no one study, there is not even enough lifetime for us to come to a place that we can know all things about God. He is amazing. But again, the things that we do know about God, the only place that we can find those things are in the Scriptures. And when it comes to the Word of God, it is more than something that was first printed off of Gutenberg's printing press. It is so much more. The Word of God is living. It is alive. And the more and more we read it, the more and more the Spirit reveals, the more that unfolds, the more that becomes a part of us. And again, to understand God as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit, it is also to have a greater understanding of us. Because we know from Genesis 1:26 that we were all created into His what? Into His image. Into His image. But if you're following along and you're listening out, you're listening outline today, we see first that the Word and all that it encompasses, talking about Jesus Christ, we know that He became flesh, but the Word is the revelation of a triune God. I know I gave you two words on one line there, and the truth of it, it just wouldn't fit without bringing another line. And but yeah, the Word is the revelation of the triune God, the Trinity. And we see here in this, it reveals that in verse 14, we see that the Word actually became flesh. It introduced the Son of God. We see in verse 1 that we just read that the Word, which is Jesus, it's talking about Jesus here, is with God and is God. We see the triune nature of God in this. We know that there's God the Father. We know there is God the Son. And where we don't specifically see it in this verse, we know the teachings of Christ are that there is God the Holy Spirit. What we see, going back to what I just mentioned in Genesis 1:26, where it was talking about being created in His image, we see a pronoun there with a capital U in the New American Standard. It says, let us. Let us create them. This is God. The Godhead, a triune nature of God, one that we will not be able to solve today, but we know there is one God that is in three persons, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are unified, but there are different roles. We see in Scripture that the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, and we see that Jesus glorifies the Father. And then what I love is that the Father glorifies Himself. I just keep thinking, and I've mentioned this several weeks now, is just that prayer where Jesus says, Lord, glorify Your name, and God responds. He says, I have glorified My name, and I will glorify it again. It is all that we do. The reason that we're here today is all for the purpose of glorifying God. Some of the illustrations that we have seen coming to try to make sense of the Trinity, and again, they all theologically fall short. There are volumes written about how this is bad theology, but it gives us just somewhat of a mental picture. Maybe you've heard of the egg example of there's one egg, but there's the shell, there's the white part of the egg, and then there's the yolk part of the egg. It's all an egg, but it's three different parts. Theologically, which suggests there's modalism. There, again, that is one God. He is not. It's not three different deities with different personalities. It is not one God that is in different modes. That at this point He is God the Father. At this point He's God the Son. At this point He's got the Holy Spirit. It is the Godhead that consists of three different parts that are beyond our comprehension. Maybe you've also even heard it of kind of like water. Water can be in the form of ice, and it can be in the form of liquid, and it can be in the form of gas. It is all water, but it is different. Again, that is theologically falls short of the truth of who God is in His Trinity. And again, just an amazing God. But coming to simplify it, that there is one and only one living and true God, and the eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all that are distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Moving on to number two, the Word. The Word is, we saw first, is the revelation of the triune God, but then we also see this Word is the source of all creation. Again, taking the doctrine of God, a huge concept, and trying to put it into just a few moments, into a moment of where we can understand God in a better way. But we see here from this passage, we see where the Word is the source of all creation. The Word is the source of all creation. It is He is the essence of our being. It is the essence of all that has been made. It is the essence of of everything we could possibly know. If we want to look at verse 3, John 1, 3, it says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's pretty significant. I mean, listen to all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. Wow. Everything that we could know, everything that we can conceive, everything that we have created. I even came prepared to start today with the joke about the scientist, and you know, and God gets to the point and says, get your own dirt. If you want to hear that joke, I'll tell you later. Just the mood wasn't appropriate for it. But here, God created all things. I want to go to Colossians, but let's quickly go to number 3, and then we'll go to Colossians together in just a moment. But we see next that the Word is the salvation of mankind. It is the salvation of mankind. We see it's the revelation of the triune God. It is the source of all creation. And we see that the Word is the salvation of all mankind. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That is the whole purpose. We looked specifically at that last week of why did Jesus come? And we broke down several scriptures, almost a dozen, maybe more scriptures, that comes to the point where Jesus came to rescue us. He came to free us from the bondage of sin, and so that we would live in ways that would glorify him, and that we could go and also continue in the work that he started, and to live eternal lives with God. And again, that was the purpose of him coming. Verse 11, we looked at that just a moment ago. It says that he came to his own. What is it talking about there? He was a Jewish person. He came to the Jewish people. Remember that God made a covenant with the Jewish people. We see in Hebrews 8, it explains about what happened to that covenant. The Jewish people, the Israelites, did not keep that covenant with God. And so God came and brought a better covenant. And that covenant we see is through Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of the word of God coming in the form of flesh. Isn't that just awesome? Just the Word became flesh. Now, if you're as limited as I am, you kind of see the book, the Bible, just going poof, and there's Jesus. No, you understand the Word is so much more than what we can be printed. It's so much more than what we can put in our backpack or your purse or whatever you carry. It is the essence of all creation. We can break things down into an atom and maybe even smaller things. If I don't know what scientists are doing today, but even beyond the smallest thing that man can discover, boom, there's the Word. There's the Word. And then so we, again, but he came to his people. He came to his people, and they were not ready for this new covenant. So then through that, he opened it up to non-Jews, would be the Gentiles, which would be most of us here today. Let's go and let's look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. And we're going to look specifically, we're going to look at about 11 verses, about 10 and a half verses. We're going to look at Colossians 1. It's not going to be on the screen. It's not going to be on the screen. And so I invite you to look at that even either on your digital Bible or on in the Word, the copy that you brought today. But Colossians 1, it's after Philippians, and it is, we're going to look at 13 through 23, the first part of 23. And listen to this. If you don't have your scripture with you, if you don't have your copy, listen to it. Don't worry about your grocery list. This is just awesome scripture. It goes along exactly with what we're talking about here today. It says, for he rescued us. He's talking about God. God rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All things are in Christ and through Christ. Verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything, even in our personal lives. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If, listen to this, this is a big if you lost me in the middle of that, you said that's too much to read, then you, if you lost me in the middle, don't miss this. If, indeed, you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation and under heaven. Man, Colossians is just the Holy Spirit through Paul just really brings it all together. That Jesus, he has created all things, and all things are through him and for him. And if there's any peace, if there's any part of the universe that is being held together, it is by God. It is by Jesus Christ and through Christ, and it is through him and only through him that we can make sense of our lives and of our world. That's the doctrine of God, and we see the purpose of him coming is to set mankind free. If you don't remember, he had made all things. He had spoken them. The word was spoken. The creative, powerful God created all things. He made man. He made him good, and then he made us for a purpose. We see those purposes. It's not the point of this of the sermon to talk about the purposes. We see then that he made us for relationships, but then we see that he made us for conviction, to be obedient, to obey. He's building a kingdom of people. It's all a part of his plan, but then we know what happened in the garden. We know the choice. We know the disobedience. We know the sin that has followed, and we know the first covenant, and then we know the second covenant that is created through Jesus Christ. And we see this is the purpose of the word. This is the doctrine of God. And the big idea, we'll just go ahead and skip to that. It'll probably be at the end. Not you have to go to that, Earl. But the big idea, the whole thing is God is the triune creator that is on mission to redeem the world. Again, I'll say that again, and we'll say it a couple more times before we go today. But God is the triune creator that is on mission to redeem the world. That is it. That is a statement that is there. Our part, as we just read back here, is to receive him and to believe in his name. That's what we saw back in John 1. For those who received him and even believed in his name. And Jesus, it has to do with salvation. It is Yahweh is salvation, or as some may say, Jehovah saves. The name of Jesus, the attributes of God can all be found in his name. And the importance of Jesus, of saying Jesus, is that we are saying that he is salvation. In verse 13, what we just saw, there must be rebirth. In verse 13, I'm going to read that back in John, where it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There must be a rebirth. I received a gift of a photograph, of a picture. It's going to be on the board. I hope it's on the screen for us, of the reborn. That has impacted my life. It is. This is impacted my life in such a way. If you see this, if you can go study it. It's called Born Again. It's a statue that's been created. I have a picture of it in my office. And what it is, if you see, there's the darkness of sin that is being shed. And then there is the light. We just read about the light. But Christ being the light of man, we sung about the light. And then we see the transparent, sin-free man being reborn, being redeemed, our sin being washed away. Was there a closer one? Go ahead into that next one. You see that? It wasn't a skirt. I don't know how well your eyesight is, but it wasn't a skirt. It's being reborn, being born again. And that is, going back to the big idea, is that we have a triune creator, God, that is on mission to redeem the world. I love this picture. And it's everything that makes sense. It's everything that our life as disciples should be about. Is that we have been set free and we are being transformed into the image of God, and that we have a role as His disciples, a role as His church, to go and to be found faithful to whatever He puts in our life, and being a part of Him setting captives free. Finally, number four, what we see is that the Word is an example for all disciples. Verse 14, back in John 1, it says, "And the Word became flesh." That means the Word, all of which creation was created through, all which holds creation together, it actually became flesh. It became here, God in His purity, in His beauty, in His strength, in His royalty, and whatever good thing that we can imagine, it came down into flesh. And I'm not talking about flesh as we would use for a sinful term, but a flesh as in a human being. He put on flesh and it became a part of all of its miseries, all of its difficulties. And He dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. Why? To come and be an example. First of all, He showed us how to live. He taught us about God. He was an example of love, an example of service, an example of strength. He was an example of all things, of every part of our life. If you're a man, as an individual, as a husband, as a father, as a neighbor, as a woman, every attribute that would need to be there. He's taught us all those things, and then after He taught us all that the Father has given Him to teach us, then He went and He died on the cross in our place. Again, the big idea today is, we have a triune God that is on mission to redeem the world. Now it says here, number four, is the Word is the example for all disciples. Well, why disciples? Why just disciples? It's because, going back to verse 12 in John 1, it is the disciples are those who have received Christ. The disciples are those who have believed in His name. If we're here today and you have yet to become to a place where you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, friend, I invite you to do that today. I invite you to say, God, what about me? Or maybe He's already doing that on your heart, because it's only Him that can bring that salvation. But He has given the right to disciples, to those who believe, to become children of God, because those are the ones who believe in His name. We can believe in His name, but we can't be disobedient. That would be rebellious, and that's the problem that the Jews didn't receive Him. They were being rebellious. We can't say we believe and then act adversely. That's called hypocrisy. But then again, just remember anything today. Write this down. If you haven't written down anything else, God is the triune creator that is on mission to redeem the world. And to sum it all up, I want to, again, to understand God in a greater way. Hopefully we've left with that today. Again, just taking a few minutes to talk about the doctrine of God is never enough. And it's a lifetime journey of of learning. But if you get nothing from what we've talked about today, walk away with this, that in order to understand God in a greater way, to live in a right standing with God and join into the mission of God with all, it all begins, remember what we talked about last week, abiding. It all begins in abiding with Christ, but we must be a people of the Word. We must be a people of the Word if we're going to expecting to be walking in the rightness of God, if we're expecting to understand God in a different way, if we're expecting for God to do great things in this culture and in our lives and in our church, we must be people of the Word. If we're not, then it doesn't matter. Well, it matters, but you will not be effective. Listen to this. I'm just, from the verses that we took here, this maybe could be a logical statement, possibly. But if we have been made through Him, we saw that in John 3. If we have received Him by believing in His name, we saw that in verse 12, then we are born of God, in verse 13. We have been rescued from darkness and a part of Jesus' kingdom, and our sins have been forgiven. We saw that in Colossians 13 and 14. And then Colossians 23 says, if we continue in faith, that means there is something more than just that first day you walk down the aisle. There is something more than just showing up to church. It is so much more. It says, if we continue, we saw that in Colossians 23, if we continue in the faith, firmly and established and steadfast, that means not being moved away from the gospel of hope and the hope that's found in the gospel. It says then, listen to this. It says then in you will be Jesus. In you will be the Word. In you will be life. And the life will be, what would we read? The light of men. And that we saw that in verse 5 in 1 John or John 1. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so here, this light that shines, this light that brings rebirth, this life that begins people's journey to restoration, to being redeemed, to being ransomed from their sins, this light we see is Christ. But when we believe and when we remain steadfast, then that light is in us. And that light that is in you, God can use to break into the darkness of somebody else's life. We serve a triune God who is on mission to redeem the world, and part of His mission was to send His Son to show us the way and then to say, go, in my authority, go, I will be with you, go, and be the light of men in this dark world. We have what it takes to change the world. Again, God is the triune creator on mission to redeem the world.